boy Montoya Smith, aka Black Socrates. All I ask is that you think.
What's up, the Asian?
Hey, Montoya.
What's going on, Queen?
Oh, nothing much. Just sitting here chilling, having me a beverage.
I can dig that. You know what I'm saying? I really appreciate you, you know, getting me up on the stream, y'all. This is the new wave. I've been late to the video game. You know, I've been 6 years on the audio only every Saturday morning with the Blog Talk Radio. I think we only missed one or two shows or three shows over the last 6 years. And so, you know, I'm coming over to the medium that you've been rocking with, Destiny D'Asia, for a minute, doing your thing. So, you know, appreciate you for, you know, as much as you've assisted me on the show, and I've, you know, we've helped each other out or whatever. But now I'm coming over to your medium. So now I got to, you know, I'm learning from you, if you will. But before we get started, let you know, I buy black. I buy black is revolutionary. So let me shout out a few black-owned companies. I got Money Motivation, which is one of my regular sponsors for the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. I got the shirt is one of my members, Team Giles, one of the dopest trainers out in the Florida area. Then this is my man, Quasi Black, with the Black Wealth Matters. So let me shout out some sponsors and supporters
before
get this thing started. As you know, you helped me introduce just my 3 cents to the world, if you will. Again, thank you for being with me, Queen.
Oh, you're welcome. No problem. Thank you so much for having me. So what made you think about doing a visual show? I know you use the hashtag just my 3 cents all the time or whatever. And it's really interesting because, you know, most people be like just my 2 cents, but you added a little razzle dazzle to it. And you said just my 3 cents. So what made you actually decide that you wanted to do a visual show and name it just my 3 cents? What's the whole concept of that?
No, I could dig it. I could dig it. So as I kind of just mentioned, again, we've been audio only via Blog Talk Radio for 6 years now. That was technically my third stint via the radio. I got the bug to do a talk show some years ago, all spawned from the Mental Dialogue Community Club, for those who know about that, which is a live club here in Atlanta that we're now, our mission is to basically create a nationwide virtual neighborhood. But with that said, I basically took what I was doing in barbershops and got an opportunity to get on the show, caught that bug. And so I've been rocking audio only for 6 years. But of course, in the social media age, the wave has been to do shows, radio shows and talk shows via video. That's been going on for a number of years. That's the catch. People like to see what they're listening to, if you will. So it's like, you know, it's basically time for me to catch up to the masses, if you will. But I didn't want to just do what I'm already doing. So the Mental Dialogue Talk Show is still every Saturday morning. We do hard conversations on race, sex, and culture. It's just a very intellectual show. And to be honest with you, I've kept that show audio only because, to a degree, some of the shows, in my opinion, they go so deep that I don't want you to be distracted by what you see. I need you in and listening. And so we kind of have a niche market because of the type of conversations that we have. But for those who seek those conversations that go deeper, they love us for it. But again, it's an opportunity now to do this, just my 3 cents, my longtime hashtag. So I just took that and turned that hashtag into this show, which is 30 minutes of interaction. But to give you a little backdrop on the just my 3 cents, where basically I want to give credit to this young man. I wish I could remember his name, but I used to follow this one dude, but I really just liked him. Pretty cool personality on social media. And he used to have, every time he would say something funny, he would have a hat. He would use the same hashtag. And I was like, this is dope. This is dope. And so I want to give credit to that young man. I wish I could remember his name. We never got linked up in person, but we linked up on social media a little bit. But I was like, I like the fact that he always uses a hashtag. So I'm like, I'm gonna do that too. And I like creating hashtags. But the reason I came up with just my 3 cents was because I knew in doing my show that, again, the type of market that I was gonna reach with the style of shows I was doing, I was gonna attract intellectuals. And it's like, mm-hmm. At the end of the day, I knew my audience was gonna be a brilliant audience just because, again, of the type of shows I was doing. And so the concept was, hey, when my audience is giving opinions, it's a little more than 2 cents. It's 3 cents. So I remember when I first started using it, back before I understood what a troll was. Let me tell this little story real quick. So back before I understood what an internet troll was, I was like, for people that know, that really know me, they know I really don't, I kind of despise technology, not maybe not the smartest thing to be, but my friends know that about me. So I was always last to get a pager, last to get a cell phone. And I ended up staying with these, in this basement, these young people. And it was like, you got to get on Facebook, because I've been doing a live experience in barbershops for so long. And the young guy that I was staying with, he was like, you got to put this on Facebook. And I'm like, what's a Facebook or whatever? Mm-hmm. And so I went through the heartache of getting on Facebook. I hated it at first with a passion or whatever. But anyway, the part of the story I want to tell is when I went ahead and started using just my 3 cents before I started the radio show via Blog Talk, because I was doing a radio show live at a terrestrial radio, which is live on the air, for only about three months is how I started. But they decided to go internet only. So at that point, I was driving 2 hours every Sunday to the place and 2 hours back home to Atlanta to do that show in South Carolina. But they decided to go internet only. So at that point, it didn't make sense. So I did it out of somebody's house for 1 year and 7 months. And then one of my friends kept saying, man, you can just do Blog Talk. It's easy. I was scared to be behind the board because I was just a talker. I had somebody producing the show. And he showed me how easy it was. So I went there. So as I was preparing, I started using the hashtag. And I had this one guy who was, at the time, I didn't understand what an internet troll was. But I would do some of these same dialogues about race, sex, and culture via Facebook. And we would go back and forth for 3 days, just going back and forth. And I didn't understand how this worked. But somebody broke down, like, this guy's just trolling you. Like, he's like he's acting like he's listening to what you're saying, but he's really just trying to create, you know, kind of false, whatever a troll is. And I had to get hip to the game. But anyway, one time when I first started using just my 3 cents, the dude was, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? You know, you got you see, think you're better than everybody. Just my 3 cents. You know what I mean? Like, he thought I was saying it like to big up myself. And I said, no, I'm about to do this show. And what I'm gonna say to my people is, give us your 3 cents. Now, he never understood that, but it was just funny when I first started using it. He thought I was using it for as an ego thing, and it was just ultimately big ups to the type of crowd I knew I was gonna draw. And true to form, I ended up, in my opinion, I still have and knew that I would have the smartest audience in all the radio. I think you became a queen of intellect, which you come sometimes help me host them in a dialogue show. But I think it was because you would call in sometimes. So then I was thinking, you know what? Let me go ahead and bring on board more often, because to no surprise, you would call in and say some smart shit.
Yeah.
So you graduated from an audience person to queens of intellect.
Yep. And you know what? That's really dope that you were able to, you know, bring your vision into fruition. And you had an ideal of what you wanted. You probably didn't necessarily know the ins and out or how it was going to go. The road may have been rocky, right? You know, but at the end of the day, it is definitely starting to manifest and become what you envision. And I'm definitely happy to be a part of this process and be one of the queens of intellect. So thank you so much for looking and being able to see, you know, some of the things that I'm able to, you know, contribute to the platform as well. So I definitely appreciate you for having me the times that you do have me on there. You have a really, really good show. I'm glad that you did take the step to actually have a visual show. You are right about the fact that a visual show can be a distraction to an extent, especially when you're some very beautiful people like you and myself. You know what I'm saying? When you look good, you can be a distraction. But at that point, you drop your Cash App and you let these people pay you a little piece of change. You know what I'm saying?
You're the ultimate hustler with it.
Yeah, because people like to listen to people that look good, you know? So you did the right thing by coming on here with the salt and pepper and everything. You did the right thing. And so let me ask you this though, with it being visual now, like with you, well, Mental Dialogue is still just on Blog Talk, right?
Yeah, every Saturday still.
Do you think that you may potentially move Mental Dialogue to a visual platform? or no?
Yeah, I'm not opposed to it. At one time, the consideration was when I decided I was going to finally do a visual show. The conversation was in my own head and with the people I'm doing it with. And matter of fact, let me shout out one institution. I can't even believe I didn't say them from the beginning. So one institution, the idea of doing a video show has always been on my mind, but they basically hired me on as talent and they prompted me to do it sooner than I had planned to do it. So the idea of when I was doing it was when was I going to transition from blog talk to an audio show with the show Mental Dialogue. So when they kind of hit me with the opportunity and says, hey, we want to bring you on as talent, I thought about it and I was like, do I want to bring my whole show over there? And I was like, you know what? Just dialoguing about kind of, and they, you know, they look at the numbers and they know kind of how what people do and the visuals and stuff. So based on the feedback they gave me, it wasn't going to be, in according to what they were saying, they didn't think it would be smart for me to do a 2-hour show via video. And at the end of the day, the reason we're able to go so deep is because we have that extended hour, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? Because to be honest with you, even the way I do the audio show only via the internet is not necessarily the smartest in the sense that most podcasts are an hour or less. And so you actually, that's actually a successful way to do a podcast. But I was so committed to the mission of going deeper.
Right.
And the second hour helps because sometimes our shows go so deep, we need a third hour. Now, yeah. Of course, we don't have a third hour. But I'm just saying, the show, they couldn't go as deep. So for my niche audience, they love the show because it goes deeper. And we're able to go deeper because we're not having to just get it in 1 hour. So I stuck to that format, but realizing I wasn't going to be able to smart. It was just not going to be smart to spend 2 hours in front of people as much as people want video. So realizing that wasn't smart, then I was like, you know what? Let me keep that show going. That's established. It's got my live callers that I already know when I come on versus trying to move them to another time. Let me keep that show and let me come over here and just do a smaller version. Hence, just my 3 cents became the title of my new show because, again, I've been using that hashtag for years now. And people, you know, kind of know that I'm always going to put that hashtag. And that guy I told you about ain't the only person that's been aggravated by it. It's some people in our hip-hop group one time told me, man, every time you put that just by 3 cents, you say it aggravate me. I don't care. That's what I, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But either way, so it's kind of what I'm known for. And I was like, hey, perfect. Matter of fact, I'm tripping. I was in the process before I got the opportunity from one institution. I was in the process of putting out my book called Just My 3 Cents. So when they hit me with the opportunity, I was like, man, this is perfect. Let me put out my show and have a book with the same title. I mean, a show with the same title as my book. So it's all, to be honest, it's all cross promotion that just made sense. Now, I've had a delay with the book, but no reason not to come on out with the show, right? Mm-hmm. And the book still coming. We're just, you know, having to do some more editing with it. And then ultimately, it was just like, well, how do I conceptualize the show? And just my 3 cents is the idea of just my opinion. Give us your 3 cents as you giving your, you know, your smart opinion. And so the idea is, can I create a show where people interact and we dialogue about whatever they want to dialogue about? And then because I call myself Black Socrates and I do consider myself a philosopher, that maybe I can, give people my philosophies on the things they want to talk about versus on Saturdays, we kind of have a directed topic. Maybe on Wednesday nights, I can make it open to the people that listen and say, hey, hit that link in there and jump on here with me and we can talk about current events. Ultimately, my areas of specialties are race, sex, and culture. So let's go a little deeper. And the ultimate goal for the show is my new hashtag. I love creating hashtags, is raise the culture. So the idea is just my 3 cents. Drop a few seeds, whether they come from myself, come from people like yourself that jump on. I want to enter people. I want it as an opportunity for the truth seekers, which I call my listeners, right? I want the truth seekers to come follow me on Wednesday nights and let them hear what, for the people that are not listening on Saturdays, come get on there Wednesday night with me and drop your seeds because we get so much great information from our audience that people can use these seeds to better themselves.
Right. And just for being in the audience and just from commenting, this is what I encourage people to do whenever you're watching a show and you are inspired or something moves you or you're able to pick up a gem or whatever. I also encourage people to leave comments, because the speaker is not going to be able to cover every single thing. And a lot of times when people leave those comments, it be that interaction in that comment section, and we're able to like learn so much more. It's just a wealth of knowledge all across the board. And I was going to ask you this, and you kind of brushed over it as well, because I know that you had a vision for what you wanted that hashtag to do, just my 3 cents. And you had, you knew that, you know, you had a certain particular audience that you wanted to attract. So this all has come into fruition. And I was going to ask you, you know, what is your expectations for just my 3 cents? And then you said that with that, you created another hashtag, Raise the Culture. Absolutely. So when we're talking about Raise the Culture, what do you expect to come out of that part of it? Like what do you plan on, how does that look? Absolutely.
So, you know, there's this common concept within our community when we have these tough dialogues on race, sex, and culture, that to a degree, there's this common thought process that to a degree as a culture and as a community, that to a degree that we just talk too much, right? Like that's just something that seems to be understood. And to a degree, especially when you're first starting to explore some of these concepts a little deeper, when you're in your 20, like, you know, late teens, 20, maybe the stuff you're coming across, you got more time, or you're in college, or just at that age, you love having those dialogues more. And as you get older and real life kind of hits you, you kind of move out of those dialogues. Or you might even go to events that are saying, hey, we're focused on something that's happening in the Black community. But to a degree, there's this psychological concept that as a culture, we just talk too much. Now, what I say about that is, it don't, like, this is a concept I have, again, I'm a philosopher, right? So the philosophy I have about that is, it's not necessarily that we talk too much. In my opinion, we've been talking about the wrong things. Because what happens is, when people, and I see it happen within groups and some of the other, and I have a mastermind group that I run. And so when people talk about the right things, you then see action come from it, because action can come from right and practical things.
Right. But
dialogues, to in a sense, people call it a complain fest, right? And so to a degree, that often has to take place when there's an issue. But when that takes place, you should be identifying the problem. Sometimes the reason we quote unquote just talk too much is sometimes we don't correctly identify the problem. So that's why you get into dialogues where people are just kind of just talking. So if you haven't identified the problem correctly, damn sure no solution is coming from that. Right?
Exactly. And I think that it's important for people to talk about things that are applicable. You know, a lot of times we get so caught up in romanticizing our plight as Black people in diaspora. And we get to the point where we just we start talking about all this stuff, this 4000 BC shit, and it's like, okay, so we're talking about, okay, who built the pyramids? You know what I'm saying? Who laid the first brick? I mean, that's cute and it's good to know. It's good to know information, but we need news that you can use where you can actually be able to apply it to your life. And I did speak on something tonight on my actual show when I was talking. I did talk about, like, we need to develop a culture within the culture that we're in, because as Black people, we really don't, we're just kind of like scattered all over the place to a sense where you kind of like, we're to a point where you kind of you got to kind of find your tribe. Right. It's like we're not working as a collective, so to speak, if that makes any sense. It's like everybody is kind of like,
well, let me talk about that part. Let me talk about that part. Let's talk about what you just said, not working as a collective. So when you study, there's books you can read. Like if you go read tribes, like there's books out there, right? Mm-hmm. So what happens, or if you, like me, I love history. I do love history, right? And you're correct that to a degree, sometimes we can get in dialogues about history that are not serving us today. You know, I'm very aware of that. Some of the years I spent learning some of the history, I might have could have been doing other things or whatever. But what I've taken from that time and have learned from it is, I don't want to just run around and share with people how much history I know. That I now absolutely know how much a waste of time that is. So when you ask me, Now, what does it look like? What does raise the culture look like? So let me get into this part of the history, though. I like studying history, not just our culture. And so ultimately, when I studied other cultures and realized to a degree, every group moves via tribes. There is no, we have a false concept of what collective looks like. We literally have a false concept of it. Even highlighting, for example, MLK's and them work in the past, which we have to highlight or whatever. And we see the March on Washington. But when we see that as young people, you know, in our age, in this generation, when we look back and see those pictures and see those things, we actually have a romanticized viewpoint of how many people actually were involved in the movement. Martin Luther King himself says the movement was left to the dedicated few. And so I could tell you history, for not go to do deeper on this show, but when he moved outside of the South, he wasn't always received that well because it was a different plight in different parts of the country. So I'm just highlighting that to say we have this romanticized view of what the collective even looks like. So when you use the word tribe, that's a seed in itself. So when you ask me what's raised the culture, it's let's show people drop seeds that they can use within their circle of people that betters their lives. Because here's the reality. Let me go back to a mental dialogue thing I say all the time. Mental dialogue, the answer is in the name itself. Which means if I can improve the conversation inside your head, you will be better. If you're better, the culture's better. Yeah. So if you're walking through what I'm saying, so the highlight of what raised the culture looks like is bringing all those truth seekers who are brilliant every Saturday, and anybody on Facebook that wants to jump in with us on Wednesday nights is bring your wisdom, bring your 3 cents to the table, because we're not going to be having the, you know what I'm saying, what it Beyonce wear conversation on this show. We're going to be having deeper conversations. So by nature, it's going to attract those truth seekers. So when we have dialogues, when you're listening to that 30 minutes, you might get a seed that may serve you. And then this is what one of my best friends asked me a month ago, what exactly is it that you do? This was my best friend for years. And he was really asking me that question kind of rhetorical for me to think about. From the standpoint, because I have this community club, I have a Rolodex of and relationships of people that are pretty much almost, I probably can't count them all, but if somebody needs something, I usually connect you to somebody that can help you. And yeah. So at the end of the day, what do I do is I connect people. So I've literally connected people live on the air on Saturdays to something based on what we were talking about. It might be a business. I remember a business show where a lady was looking to get her Black-owned company wine into a store. We were literally on a store with somebody who knew how to get this, with somebody that knew how to get distributors in this state. She hadn't even moved here yet. She was moving to Atlanta. And we were able to get that live connection on the air. So when you ask me what is raised the culture, it's dropping seeds that people who listen can take and use in their lives to assist their tribes and ultimately leave a legacy. Because you're right. We have to build a culture. We have a culture to a degree as African Americans. We do have a culture. But unfortunately, it's been put together via struggle.
Yeah.
And so what happens is we relate to the struggle as the way that we connect. And the unfortunate reality is, you can't really build foundational culture via a struggle.
Right. Because it's a rocky foundation, and it's too much to unearth. So you can't be trying to build a foundation while you're trying to unearth some things, and we are residing in victimhood or whatever the case may be, and we're like using it as a rite of passage. We got to be very careful with actually doing that. So we definitely have to do a better job at, you know, using these opportunities in order for us to grow and making good use of our time and having those conversations that are actually needed instead of just having filler type of conversations.
Absolutely. I call these necessary conversations.
Yes.
That's the difference when you start talking about the right thing.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, I probably get a call every week from somebody that is thankful for a connection that we've made, or literally there's been enough dialogues, whether with me or within the group, that they say, hey, this is what I'm doing different now.
Right.
And so, you know, so to a degree, doing a visual show is to try to get more reach. I'll never lose sight of my mission. And let me state the mission completely here, because I said a little bit of it in the beginning. So my mission is to, let me tell you the vision and the mission. So the vision is to raise awareness and reignite the commitment to excellence in the Black community, in the Black conscious. To raise awareness and reignite the commitment to excellence in the Black conscious. That's the vision. The mission is to create a nationwide virtual neighborhood where African-Americans learn to trade ideas, goods, and services via meetups, podcasts, and social media. So it's a place to have the dialogues you need, where you can take a little piece, little seed, you know, you can, and we do the dialogues in a manner that we're not giving you an agenda. We're not telling you, you got to think like us. That's what we're known for, right? Is bringing different viewpoints to the table. So we're not saying rock with us if you think like us. No, we try to have all a gumbo of opinions so that the people that are watching and listening can pick up the seeds they need, because it may not come from me. It may come, you know, like I say, how you, in a sense, graduated to the Queens of Intellect. I appreciate you because you do think different. And so I welcome that, even, you know, even when we disagree. I mean, it was a month ago, I was giving you props because, you know, I think I'm a pretty smart dude, right? But I was giving you props about a month ago. You intellectually ragdolled me on my own show. So much. Hey, I had to get it up to you, Queen. You did me dirty.
But it's definitely good. Yes. And it's definitely good to explore different thought processes without judgment, and it's so hard for us to do that. Just like we automatically, like soon as somebody says something, a lot of times we jump in and try and correct them and make them gravitate towards our own personal ideologies or whatever. And sometimes I try to like leave my ideologies at the door when I'm having certain conversations. That open yourself up to be able to learn something new, because if you're going into a conversation with your mind already made up, you already think you know what the other person is going to say, and you already know how you're going to respond, you're not really growing. You're like ruminating. It's redundant. You're not growing. You're not learning anything new or whatever. And a lot of times people feel that once they hear something, once they hear something new, that they actually have to go in and change what they already think about a particular situation. And that's not necessarily the case. It takes some time for you to evolve. And it's not, and a lot of people go into conversations on the defense, feeling like as soon as they hear something that is new to them, that it's kind of like a shot or something at them.
Right. And yeah, they take it personal.
When that's not even the case. It's just that we're having a conversation. It's not an argument. You could leave the conversation and keep doing whatever it is that you were doing. But eventually something might transpire in your life where you could go back and say and pick up, and you like, you know what? I picked up one of them nuggets in that conversation where something can transpire, and now you'll have an aha moment. Absolutely. And that's what it's all about. I think
From when I was in the barbershops, what you're talking about, I've named it that because when I started in the barbershop, and I used to say this, and I've been in the barbershops for 10 years. I mean, I'm in a coffee shop, and my last event was at a place called Studio House Atlanta, props to them, whatever. So it was a nice spot. But when I first started in small barbershops, I used to tell people that what I wanted them to learn by coming to this mental dialogue, because, you know, they would come to the event like, what is this? What is this? You know what I mean? But it was appropriate to start in the barbershop just because of what we were doing, right? But what the first thing I would tell them is, you're here and we're learning to practice the art of conversation.
Yeah.
And I would explain the art of conversation is we specialize in consideration for the other viewpoint. And the only way you can do that is to actually listen to it.
Exactly. And unleash those raw thoughts. And a lot of people call it, I'm gonna tell you what a lot of people end up calling it. It's kind of like you have sometimes where people, when they have these thoughts, that's not necessarily the thoughts that they just live by or the things that they live by, so to speak, they call it playing the devil's advocate.
Right.
where you kind of, you're able to look at things objectively. Right. You're able to be open to different thoughts and opinions or whatever. You might not take it home with you at right. that particular point, but you heard it. You're able to listen to it, respect it, and let it be what it is. And it's just, it's really good to just get those things off your chest and just see how other people view things. Because actually, I've learned this by listening to your show and actually being a part of your show. That even though I might have come to a conclusion about something, it's like doing a math problem. I can come to a conclusion about something, but the process of getting there is different. And right. that's where that difference in perspective lies. Right. And even though we might be right here, you know, eye to eye with something, just hearing how you were able to process that thought and how you were able to get to that point that we even agree on. Take I could time. Still learn something from that because I'm actually listening to how you were able to get there. And right. that's important as well. So you could actually have a conversation with somebody where you're agreeing, but you're still coming learn. From so many different angles, and it might sound like a disagreement, but it's really just a different perspective to right. arrive to the same destination point.
Absolutely. And that's what we specialize in. That's what yeah. we've gotten known for. And it was all intention from the beginning. I mean, think about the name of the mental dialogue was where we're coming from. Then again, with just my 3 cents, it's just mm-hmm. I want it to be an interactive. And so for anybody that watches this one, just to be clear, it'll be on Wednesday nights on Facebook Live, my personal page, Montoya Smith. And I will have a link or where you could actually click on the link and join me on video right now, just like DeAsia. So I don't want to do a show where you're listening to me philosophize for 30 minutes. I call myself a philosopher, but I prefer dialogues over monologues. DeAsia, I always give her props because she has the strength to hold her show down for 30 minutes. I will admit, I don't think that's my strength. Obviously, if I'm stuck on there for 30 minutes without any audience, I'll have to keep talking. But my preference is for y'all to click that link and let's just take those Wednesday nights wherever y'all want to go. Of course, I will lead with something to a degree just to have something to talk about. But ultimately, I just want to interact with people to have the things you just said, that interaction to see where we think differently. Because I want to, as a matter of fact, I'm going to leave everybody with this. Again, just my 3 cents every Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, live on Montoya Smith's Facebook page. So just find me on Facebook where I'm going to promote this everywhere. But either way, so find me every Wednesday night. But ultimately, what I want people to really gather in those dialogues is, by nature, humans attract their tribe anyway. Again, we were talking about that in the beginning. But basically, your relative circle, here's what you're going to do by human nature. You prefer to be in a circle of like-minded people. That's human nature to do so. Even if you got a dope circle and y'all move the needle and y'all get to the bag, per se, right? Even in that circle. Over time, with that same circle that leveled you up, if that continues to be your only people you interact with, there's a level of stagnation that can still yeah. happen because of the lack of challenge to your thought processes. So the best way to be exposed to it, which people don't like to do, is to be exposed to the exact opposite to what you think. And if you force yourself to listen, you will often learn or get a nugget that can strengthen something in your own life. But because we don't like to have the conversations at all, we cancel each other, don't call people over no more over arguments you had over social media, you actually risk your own growth in your life by not yeah. being willing to have those difficult dialogues. And we're always talking about, now back to raise the culture, we're always talking about all these important conversations we still are afraid to have. Whether it be domestic violence, child sexual abuse, all these conversations we have on Saturdays. You know what I mean? We have those conversations and walk through them honestly. So that's what we've been doing every Saturday. So it's going to be a same thing on Wednesday nights, but with interaction from the audience. That's just my 3 cents in a nutshell. Thank you so much, Queen, for the opportunity to let me share what just my 3 cents is for those out there that hopefully will watch, listen, and share. Thank you, Queen. Please tell them, as I always do, tell them about Desk of DeAsia. I watched your show tonight. I enjoyed the hell out of it. I listen to it every Tuesday. If I'm not doing anything, you know I'm watching your show. So tell them about your stuff too before we go.
Well, this is DeAsia. It first started off where people were sending me in questions and I was addressing those questions or whatever, but I had some changes that took place and I had to kind of like, you know, change up some things. You know, I ain't want to, you know, get swept under the tide. So I had to change up some things. So unlike the mental dialogue, I will talk about some of the, you know, trend and ratchet shit. That's what I do. But I do have every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Central Time, I do have those more serious conversations, some of the hard conversations that we are afraid to talk about that I'm not afraid to address. So every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, I do do the Death of DeAsia. Throughout the week, if it's something that's happening in the media, I have another addition to the Death of DeAsia, which is the You Can't Whoop Me edition, where I talk about what's trending in the media. So it's fun. It's live. You get to, you know, hear those deep conversations on Tuesday and you get the wild out with me throughout the week or whatever, depending on what's going on in the media. I could be found on YouTube at Death of DeAsia. Go over there, subscribe to the YouTube channel and share it with a friend. I'm going to drop my shameless plugs, baby.
Oh, wait.
And then go ahead.
They call them unshameless plugs. So we ain't shame. They unshameless plugs. What I call them. You know, like, and, you know, it can't just be just my 2 cents. You know, we got to change it up over here. So they unshameless plugs. That's what we call
them. So follow me on IG. Everything, Death of DeAsia, all across the board, Death of DeAsia. Follow me Death of DeAsia. Make sure you subscribe because I do have those impromptu shows. Tonight I had a show called Is Body Positivity Turning Into Slut Walk? Y'all definitely want to go over to YouTube and check that one out. It was a really good show. And before I leave, Montoya, thank you so much for having me. I'm so proud of you. I'm glad to be able to witness your growth. And I'm so glad that you're willing to step out there and take certain risks and just take the bull by the horns, because I know a lot of this stuff with dealing with social media, especially when you having to be the speaker and be behind the board and work the technology or whatever, it's way harder than what it actually looks. So my hat goes off to you, and I'm definitely proud of you, and I see great things coming from this. So I'm just glad to be alive at this time to be able to witness the prophecies of the Black Socrates.
I absolutely appreciate it. I want to give a shout out to Keenan Davis and Derek Day over at One Institution. I want to thank them for bringing me on. This is from what I understand, we will be a regular show on the One Institution platform, oneinstitution.com. Go check them out. They have a lot of great shows, and I just hope to be a great addition to what they're doing at One Institution. So I definitely wanted to properly shout them out and thank them. Tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Just My 3 Cents. If you watching, you can jump on and we can dialogue. It's a rapid fire dialogue, 30-minute show. We're going to get in, get out. So look forward to seeing y'all tomorrow. Thank you again, Desk of DeAsia or DeAsia. Hey, DeAsia.
Hey, Montoya.
All right, Queen, we out of here. Appreciate y'all. And I guess I should end it with the classic. All I ask is that you think.
Bye.